Good-looking crowd out there. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be back. Mr. Rios, I appreciate the song's service, praising God. I don't know about you, but this morning, singing those hymns to God, just following the words as we're singing, my mind kept saying just how true God's word is, and when you're comparing to what's going on around us in today's world. I mean, very appropriate words and how they apply in our life today. Hello to those on the webcast. Wish you were here, but we understand. It's a beautiful drive over from Fort Meade this morning. God's creation all around us is just lovely. The message of my sermon this morning is something that we need to be doing in our life every day. And the title of my sermon is Determine the Importance of Each Day. Each day. If you would, turn to Psalm chapter 90 with me, in verse 12. This is described as a psalm, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Mr. Curtis, I appreciate your message this morning. It was a good introduction to the message that I'll be giving. You know, God has a way of bringing these two together. In Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, "So teach us." So we need to be willing to be taught by God. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And I don't know about you, but the older I get, I'm really appreciating each day, especially with God's word, of studying and reading his word, of the Bible studies, of how Mr. Wynn is bringing out messages that really draws God's word closer, makes it stand out, makes it pop, something that's very important. We're to be accountable for our days. I mean, God's the one that created time. God's the one that said, here, here's your seconds, your minutes, your hours, your days, your weeks, your months, your years. Use it to the best of your ability, which we are to be doing each and every day of our life. Also on Psalm 90, let's go back to verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Now here's a man of God, Moses, speaking. Have you ever tried to place yourself in his position of what he actually went through in his life? God called him to go to speak to Pharaoh, him and Aaron, his brother, to bring out Israel, but to do what God said each and every day. And then when they came out, as one of the songs we just sang, talking about that event at the Red Sea, the crossing, Pharaoh's chariots, and all that occurred there, all that Moses went through, how would we have acted with all those millions of people that he was leading, that God was bringing out? God has been our dwelling place, and he continues to be our dwelling place today. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, forever. Verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And we're to eventually be a very part of that God family. everlasting to everlasting, to always be with God. Verse 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight, in God's sight, 1,000 years are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. And at times do we stop and think, wow, where have all the years gone? What have I done in all that time? What have I accomplished? We look at our families. You know, Mr. Wendt brought up the Mother's Day tomorrow and the appreciation for our mothers. That's one thing I've recently been thinking a lot about, is in the resurrection when my mom is raised, as well as my dad, to actually go to her and say, wow, I really understand what you must have really went through, especially dealing with a son like me, you know, because we had 6 kids, you know, 3 girls, 3 boys. We have our own family. We have our own grandkids. And we look back at a history. We talked about that on the way over today, because we have a 3rd granddaughter who's graduating next week, which we'll be going up to visit in Ohio. And you think about when she was born. Now, 18 years later, where has the time gone? We're here in verse 4. It says, 1,000 years in God's sight is as of yesterday. In our life, our 50 years, our 60, our 70 years, our 80, whatever it may be, has flown by as like a vapor. Are we growing? Are we continuing to be fit for the kingdom, to be fit for God's family? In verse 10 of chapter 90, the days of our years are 70 years, 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Before we know it, it's over. But we know what's ahead of us through God's truth, God's word. We know what awaits us in the future. You know, the time comparison for God and for man is there. It's explained to us. And when we hear our brothers and sisters that have even exceeded 80 years, you know, Mrs. Oldroyd just turned 95 years old. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, 95. Wow. 28 more years. 95. 28 more years. I don't think I'm going to make 95, but I'm hoping and praying that Christ returns soon, especially with all that's going on in the world around us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. It makes me appreciate God's word even more, especially in today's world when you just shake your head at the news, things that are happening, not just in this nation, but around the world. I was mentioning to Mr. Wynn earlier that an article I saw, just a small article, but it said a lot. Some of the changes that our current government is making, well, one of the changes recently that just, you read it and you can see how the world is spiraling. The American embassies around the world have been given authority to fly the pride flag at the embassies around the world. During the previous administration, that was done away with, that was banned. Present administration has now approved that. You read this, and it appears a lot of the laws that are now being passed or pushed through in this nation are not concerning the laws of God, but more so the laws of Satan and his way, pushing God out of our life. In Ephesians 2, starting in verse 19 through 22. We read, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." So we are part of that building, that temple of God, the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us each day to be building upon God's house, fitly framed, keeping that house, ourselves, cleaned, fit, not cluttered. We're to be pushing out the ways of this world all around us each day. I use the word determine in the title of this message, determine the importance of a day. So we need to be determined. We're to have that mindset. We're to have that heartfelt mindset prior to any of our daily tasks, because that's what our life is about. Today is May 8th, this Sabbath, and I realized 3 years ago today, I retired. God blessed me with the opportunity to retire. And I realize that the last 3 years has just been wonderful. Highly recommend retirement. Highly recommend it. But it's also my wife's father's birthday. So I think he's 87 today. And when we got married 46 years ago, I had no vision of what he would be at 87, or if, even if we would all still be here around that time. Who knows? But our mindset, especially on God's word, to endure, it takes endurance on our part because God has invited us. So we're to be willing to carry on that task. To be determined presupposes careful consideration on our part of the cost, because there is a cost, but it's a cost that's worth it every moment. And a requirement of any task that we're performing, that it's all worth achieving, of what God is calling us to be a very part of, is worth our time, our effort, our serving, as Mr. Curtis mentioned, our listening, our praying for one another. There is a Hebrew word translated for determine, and it's amar, A-M-A-R, amar, which means to say in one's heart, to think. So you see there's a heart, there's the mind, to command, to promise, to intend. So be determined as to promise, to pursue, to follow up, to achieve. Another biblical term that helps define the word determination is the word purpose. One Hebrew word for purpose is yatsar, Y-A-T-S-A-R. And it means predetermined. God used this word when he said, and we'll turn to Isaiah chapter 46. To see an example here. Isaiah 46 in verse 9. 10 and 11. Says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. God knows what he's talking about. We should be listening. Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. We are part of God's pleasure. He has called us. His pleasure is he's creating a family. He wants children. Verse 11, the latter part of verse 11, says, yes, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. God said he was going to do it. God does it. His word is true. Because we know there are still prophecies given in God's word that are still to be performed. We're in that time. We're seeing it being fulfilled. We will be there during all of this. God has purposed his plan of salvation for mankind. We are part of that. So are we determined to be a part of that plan, to see it to the end? I would say the answer is yes to that question. We have many examples of those who demonstrated determination in Scripture. And we must say, by what's recorded, it surely had to be on a day-to-day basis for their life. Such as King David, if you would turn to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. First Chronicles 28, starting verse 2 to verse 3. Says, then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. He was prepping. He was purposing to have the material ready to do what he wanted to do. But in verse 3 it says, but God said unto me, you shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and shed blood. Skip over to verse 20 in the same chapter. Verse 20. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. That assignment had been given to his son Solomon. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you, until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. We are part of that house of the Lord, of God. So these words, in our life today, how well they apply. Let's read it again, latter part of verse 20. God will be there for you. God will be there for me. God will not fail you. God will not fail me. God will not forsake you. Aren't these wonderful words? God will not forsake me. Until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. We have a service that God has assigned to us. I have a service that he has assigned for me. How successful are we? How motivated are we? How committed are we to all that service to our Lord, to our God? It is so wonderful how we read God's word. And in today's world, we can relate because this is our God that we're speaking of. It applied to them. It applies to us. Daniel, as an example, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the food and drink of King Nebuchadnezzar. You find that in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. I won't turn there. I'll just make reference to Daniel 1, verse 8. Well, let's turn to Daniel chapter 3. Here we're talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know the story. Daniel 3, verse 17 and 18. Where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was instructed by Nebuchadnezzar when he found out they weren't bowing down to his golden image. So he threatened them, gave them another chance. But in verse 17, and you see here the determination, the predetermined on their part. It wasn't a knee-jerk reaction. It wasn't something that just came into their head. No, this was their feelings, their thought. Just as it is to us today, what's coming ahead of us, that we have to be this motivated, this convicted, to stand for God's way, God's truth, to not fear man. Verse 17 of Daniel 3. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Verse 18. But if not, how many times will we have to apply that? But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve your gods, thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Again, if you apply this self to your life today and what's ahead of us, God is there who will deliver us in whatever way God wants to deliver us. He will deliver us. He has promised that. Will it be a fiery furnace? Well, it depends on your definition of fiery furnace. See what God's people have gone through over the years. That is recorded for us. People were against them. People threatened them. People killed them. They were abused. All these examples. But our response is, depending on how God delivers us, but if we must go through what's ahead of us to learn, to grow, to show our conviction to God's way. But if not, if we have to go through what we have to go through, well, we're going to go through it. But we understand that God will deliver us. In his time, his timeline, and his way. Our way may not be equal to God's way. Our timeline may not be equal to God's timeline. But we know that God is there for us. He doesn't forsake us. Jesus, in his determination throughout his life in the flesh, God in the flesh. Let's turn to John 17, starting in verse 1. An And this is why it's so important for us on a daily basis to really build upon that foundation where Christ is the chief cornerstone. In John 17, verse 1, I'm going to read 1 through 4. These words spoke Jesus. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, and he's speaking for us to his Father, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify you, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Or as thou hast given him. We're part of that family that's being called. We have that opportunity of eternal life. Verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Christ says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. God has given us a work to do. Of preaching the gospel to the world, of building his temple within us through the Holy Spirit that he has given us, that gift of the Holy Spirit. On a daily basis, we're to be growing, getting closer and closer to God and to his Son and to each other here. In verse 12 of the same chapter in John 17, Christ still speaking, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. You know, the work Christ has given us continues today. And that is why each day is important to us to do the work and to build on that foundation through God's word. Daily tasks, daily assignments, our studies, our prayers, our meditating. On contacting those that are in need, of those in need, letting us know that you're in need. Of either just to listen or to assist you in whatever we need to assist you in. That communication is two-way. It's a two-way street. And it helps us who are willing to serve to know where we need to be to serve. Another example is in the book of Acts. If you would, turn to Acts chapter 3. Yeah, this is the 42nd day of our count to 50. The 42nd day. Back in their time, Christ had ascended on the 40th day. So we would be 2 days after that point. I stop and think, how well were they doing? You know, Christ instructed them to wait in Jerusalem for the helper. He would send the helper to them. God has given us, those of us who are baptized, he has given us the helper, his God's Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, starting verse 1, we see Peter and John still doing the work. This was after Pentecost, but here we see them performing what God had instructed them to do. Continue in my way. Verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being about the ninth, or being the ninth hour, 3 p.m. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to take alms of them that entered into the temple. So just in that one verse, we see a man who was lame since birth. So you wonder about that history. You know, Mother's Day, here's a mother who bore a child that was lame. Well, I read into this that that mother took care of that child, even though it was lame. He's now a grown man who has to be carried. So he has someone or some people carrying him to this gate to collect alms. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for money. And Peter fixed his eyes upon him with John, says, "Look on us." And he gave attention unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Verse 7. And Peter took the man by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. The power of God's Holy Spirit being shown here in performing this miracle through Peter, John. The power of God's Holy Spirit in us is working miracles today. Our prayers for one another, the strength in prayers for one another, the strength in fellowship for one another, for us being here on God's Sabbath day. God inviting us to be here with Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, is a miracle. Look back over your life. Appreciate what God has called us to and what God is leading us toward. So you may ask yourself, well, why is determination important? Well, life is full of choices that we have to make, and we have to make them on a daily basis. I always like to go to Deuteronomy 28. If you would, join me there. Deuteronomy 28. Talks about the blessings. In verse 1 through 14, and then it talks about curses in verses 15 through 68. And a lot of verses on the curse side. But it really jumps out to me, again, from God's Word, as you're reading the blessings in verses 1 through 14, you don't have to go to verse 15 through 68, but you still do. But as you're reading 1 through 14, just think of the opposite of the blessing. Just think of the opposite. And again, just like the hymns that we were singing, when you're reading this, you think of our nation. I've lived here all of my life, and I've seen different things in my short life that I've been alive. You know, as was mentioned earlier in the sermon, it may not be as long as some others that have lived in this life, but I've seen how God has blessed either our personal lives as growing up, that I'll relate a story to later in my own personal life, but I'm also seeing in today's world of how man is just rapidly descending, even more so into chaos. If we make the right choices, we experience blessings of God. They're there. And after wise choices, the right choices, determination is needed to carry them out. We have to be determined to see it through, to carry it out, to commit to it. But we know that any choice we make is usually accompanied by challenges, possibly difficulties or temptations. But we're to grow, we're to push through those, to excel. Deuteronomy 28, let's look at some of these verses here, starting in verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. All nations of the earth. Look at the United States today. In some of the articles recently in the Wall Street Journal, of these meetings of the different nations, the wealthy nations, what did they do with the United States representatives there? China and Russia basically just pounded away at the U.S. You know, they just used this as a grandstand to basically tell the U.S. what they thought about the U.S. And even the U.S. ambassador to NATO took it upon herself recently to basically attack the nation that she represents, to beat her own nation, the United States, down. Again, we see that we are not observing and we are not following God's commandments in this nation. And it could be applied around the world, but I'm just talking about the United States here as an example. Where we may have been set high above nations, we're not sitting high above nations to this day anymore. But God is still providing for this nation as a promise to Abraham. But for how long? You can read, you know, some more verses. Verse 7, just as one more example. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. We have possibly still, at this point, the strongest military force in the world. Possibly. But we're seeing all of these nations, again, pushing back on the U.S., basically saying, we don't want you in our nation anymore. We don't want you in our country. But even those countries that say they don't want us, once we move out of their country, then we get attacked for even doing that. Satan has stirred this pot up in this nation, in this world. We can see it occurring all around us. And there are plenty of examples of whether it's God's blessings or curses of people throughout the Bible and their decisions and their determining of how they wanted to live their life and how it affected others. Because it just doesn't affect any individual. It affects all those around, whether it's on a city basis, county, state, nation, world. How do we develop determination? And how do we keep doing it each day? Well, we recognize that there are gains and there are losses resulting from a particular choice. You really have to think things through. Faith and hope in God's purpose for mankind helps build, it helps develop, and it helps us to strengthen our determination. Because we know by enduring to the end, through God's word, through God's way, overcoming sin, developing righteous character, growing in the grace and knowledge made possible by Christ's sacrifice, we're to possess God's kingdom and become kings and priests reigning with Christ at his return as part of his family. God is giving this gift to us. So what are we to be determined about in our life? Foremost is seeking God with our whole heart, mind, and soul, putting God first in all things in our life, and to do what we are commanded to do by God. And we listen to these messages, and they're on the webpage that you can pull up all the sermons that are recorded there, the Bible studies, the information that's available to us. We can utilize that for examining ourselves, to learning, definitely to point us in that same direction, and that's to God. Always looking to God. Matthew 6, verse 33. You know what it says, but I'm going to read it anyway. Matthew 6, verse 33, Christ says, "But seek you first." We have to seek it. We have to look for it. We have to want it. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Always seeking. Never give up on seeking God's kingdom first in our life. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. We should be a man and woman after God's own heart. And his determination to seek the face of the Lord was a constant motivation in his life. What is our constant motivation? Is it to seek first the kingdom of God? To seek first God's own heart? In Psalm chapter 42, verse 1, that's why each day is so important in our life. Of our loved ones around us, of our great God in heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ sitting there at God's right hand. Psalm 42, verse 1, we actually sing this in one of the hymns, talking about as the heart, or as the deer pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after you, O God. Are we showing, are we having that thirst for God's word? Especially in the heat of Florida and these 90-something degree days we've been having, we thirst. If you're working outside, we thirst for that water. Just as in our spiritual life, we thirst for God's spiritual water. In Psalm 119, verse 2, I mean, Psalms is just filled with all these examples. Psalm 119, verse 2. It says, "Blessed are they that obey his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." Again, seeking God with our whole heart, our whole mind and heart, that combined force that God has given us to seek his truth. I mean, another example, let's look at Jesus' life again, but here we see an example where Jesus was age 12, a youth, in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 40. Says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And as Mr. Wendt recently said, the term Passover could stand for the days of unleavened bread as well, in combination there. Verse 42, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. So they were a day's journey, which meant there was a day's journey back. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Again, he was 12 years old. He was there without Mary and Joseph 5 days. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why have you thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Now, I'm sure they were very worried, sorrowing. In verse 49, but Jesus said, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? He knew. Age 12. We know. At whatever age we are right now, and continue to know and to prove all things that we're to be about our Father's business each and every day of our life. Verse 50, and they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. But then he went back to Nazareth with the family. And Mary kept all these sayings in her heart. What are we keeping in our heart? What are we remembering? What are we striving to overcome? What are we building and committing each day? Are we rehashing the same old every day of our life? Or are we casting out, cleaning through God's help, the sins that easily beset us? You know, let's look at our past successes or even our current successes in life to see how God has led us through life to this very day. Share those stories. Yeah, I just love the getting to know write-ups. You know, that's getting to know everyone. That's being presented in these papers. Those stories are being shared. Share our stories where I know that God has purposed and directed those things that you're sharing with us, of how your life has been changed, your life has been touched, of where you're being determined to follow God continually. I mentioned I was going to share an example. I may have shared this here before. I don't remember, but I'm going to share it again. So if you've heard it, you're going to hear it again. In my life, this is prior to being married, growing up, I knew where I wanted to work. Okay? Growing up, I knew if I wanted anything in life, I had to work for it. My parents was not an open checkbook, and I knew that. Okay, a family of six kids, what I needed, what I wanted, I worked for it. Well, I knew the company I wanted to work for, but they weren't hiring when I was ready to, when I applied. Well, I was working full-time during the day, full-time at night at school, getting my own education, paying for my own education, paying for my own car, my clothes, my food. Again, that's the way I was raised, to be self-sufficient and not to be looking for my parents to pay for things because they just couldn't afford it. Well, there were certain classes I couldn't take at night, and that was at the very end of my college, the remaining 6 months. Still wasn't hired by the company I wanted to work for, but the company I was working for, I had to tell them, I can't continue. I've got to finish up my college degree going during the daytime. So I lived off my savings for that period of time. Well, one class that I had to take was an elective, which turned out to be tennis. And guess who I met during the tennis class? I met this beautiful young 18-year-old lady who later became my wife. I would have never met her. And she has her own story as to why she was even there at that college at that time, which she really hadn't planned on being at, but that's a side story, her own story. So after graduating, 2 months later, we were married. And from there, I was introduced into God's way, God's word, through my wife. Here we are, 46 years later. You know, who would have thunk? Who would have thought I would be here, you know, retired for 3 years as of today, you know, loving every minute of it, loving every minute with my wife and our children, our grandchildren, all of you. Who would have thought it? Of what God did, what God blessed me with, how God directed those decisions, those timelines. It's amazing when you stop and think about your life. I appreciated Mr. Curtis's sharing of some of his information. So it's revelations like this that keeps me personally determined about the importance of each day and to reach God's kingdom. You know, this is nothing compared to what awaits us in the future, of that serving, of bringing others, of educating. So we're to be renewing. Let's renew our drive to determine the importance of each day. It's very important. And to succeed in life. We can succeed. We're succeeding even sitting here amongst one another. Especially to qualify to be a part of God's family. To be resurrected at Christ's return, to serve with Christ as a king and a priest, accomplishing, always accomplishing God's plan for mankind. You can make reference to Matthew 19, verses 27 through 29, speaking about sitting on thrones, where Christ was talking to the apostles. Well, we're to be there with Christ. In whatever assignment we have, but we will be spirit beings. I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of aches and pains lately. I'm noticing I can't do a lot of things I used to be able to do without having aches and pains a day or two later. So I started with Psalm 90, verse 12. I would like to go back and repeat that as I'm closing here. Psalm 90, once again, verse 12. Again, Moses, a man of God, speaking. Verse 12, so teach us. God is so willing to teach us, to open our mind and our heart to receive his words. So teach us to number our days. Each day is so important to God. It should be just as important to us, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And I would add wisdom and understanding. Here's the wisdom, here's the understanding. And through God's Spirit, he gives us and continues to give us. Again, emphasizing the importance of a day in our life, making each day count for something. Ask yourself at the end of the day, what have I done today that God would be pleased with? What have I accomplished today that I'm pleased with? Have I accomplished anything today, or was it wasted? I need to do better if I have a yes to that question. But we're to be always giving glory and honor to our God. So let's be determined to know that each day that God grants us, that God blesses us with, is very important, and utilize that time as well as we can. So again, tomorrow, happy Mother's Day to those here and to those on the webcast. Couldn't have done it without all you mothers out there. You know, so it's a wonderful time, and God has many blessings ahead for us. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.